The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Control in America has launched a new dedicated webpage entitled Vaccines and Autism, even though we already know there is no link. But yet they've decided to propagate the misinformation. We'll look at that in a moment or two. But first, you'll have heard much about Australia's social media ban, which comes into effect next week. I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, disinformation expert and author of The Irrational Ape, How Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
The Australians, I suppose, are being very brave, are they not?
They're certainly taking a bit of a gamble, but a calculated one. So last year, Australia passed a law that they would ban social media for under-16s. And as of December 10th, that will become law officially. Now, there's a lot of pushback from technology platforms and naysayers, but there's a lot of keen world interest in this because we already know that social media is incredibly negative for the mental health of younger people. So this is kind of a brave world-leading step.
Now, what they are saying is that social media companies like Meta, TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube will be legally required to take, quote-unquote, reasonable steps to prevent users under 16 from maintaining or creating accounts. I'm always a bit worried about the word reasonable. You know, who defines reasonable?
And that indeed has come up in public discourse about it. Now, the Australians have allowed the social media companies to at least put in some kind of metric that they define as reasonable, whether that be checking your IDs or using some kind of face verification. But they've had a long time prepare for this. So they've known it's coming for a year. And as their current communications minister, Annika Wells, said, we've known for 15 to 20 years that these issues exist with social media. So they've had plenty of time to prepare for this. Now, some of them dragged their feet. Google only recently said that it would implement these measures on YouTube. But this doesn't actually affect messaging apps. This affects specifically social media platforms. And it doesn't stop people viewing the content. It stops them being members of that site as well. So it's not a perfect solution, but it's a lot more than we currently have.
Now, this communications minister, Annika Wells, says she is not intimidated by major technology companies because they, as you say, are involved in pushback. But she's been listening to parents.
She has. And this is a common refrain. Parents see the harm this is causing their children. Their children themselves admit it. I mean, if you ask young people about the role of social media on their perception of the world and the spread of misinformation and their mental health, they're unanimous that it is largely negative. They can see the positives of it, but they're under no illusions. This is not fooling people. And when she gets pushback on this, she gets quite a bit. Donald Trump has previously stated he would oppose any action by foreign governments that might negatively affect American tech firms. And then again, he also recently hauled in the Australia's e-safety commissioner to the US Congress to testify. So, again, there's a bit of pushback internationally from this. And again, most tech companies are headquartered in the United States. So some of it is going to be geopolitical.
Is there any domestic criticism at all?
There has been. There's been a legal case taken by two teenagers, particularly one 15-year-old girl who's identified herself, saying that it's a violation of children's rights. Now, whether these things get tested in court, it has not yet been heard, so we don't know. But some people actually have complained the opposite direction. For example, gaming platforms are not currently listed in the under-16s ban. And as you've heard this week and last week, there's been a lot of discussion about platforms like Roblox, where there's been grooming and especially toxic misinformation spread around them. So again, even the Australians admit this is not a one-size-fits-all solution. But their analogy they've drawn, which is a good one, is we know if we make cigarettes and alcohol illegal for under-18s. It's not going to stop under-18s using them, but it will restrict it and have a more positive public health impact.
Now, the interesting thing is they don't describe this as a cure, but rather a treatment plan.
Absolutely. They actually view this as a public health measure. Because, like, look, this is not going to be, and there's a lot of naysaying saying, oh, how can you enforce it? People can use VPNs. And all of this is true. But if you reduce at least some of the problem, you contribute positively towards public health. And this is the first time, to my knowledge, that any country has viewed social media as a public health problem. And they're doing it the way you treat a public health thing. If you think back to 2006 when we had the smoking ban in Ireland, there was a lot of naysaying about that this won't work and people will just flout it and circumvent it. And indeed, people occasionally did. But overall, it was a win for public health. And this just shows you how quickly the mindset's been changing that these platforms, and we've discussed this a lot, Pat, that they are inherently quite toxic, and they have allowed much of the misinformation and disinformation that has plagued our society to perpetuate.
Well, over to you, EU, is what we're saying. Maybe follow the Australians. Certainly look at it over the next couple of years with great interest. But every year this is delayed is more damage done to children.
Absolutely. And one of the things is, and the Australians even said this in interviews, and Annika Wells said this, that a huge number of international colleagues are coming to them and going, we want to see how this works out because we're seeing this as a problem in our own country. And again, tech giants, and we've discussed this a lot, they have a huge amount of influence on governments. I mean, look at Ireland, how many tech companies have their European headquarters here? So they can kind of push back against it. But when this starts happening, I would hope that this, and again, the Australians are going to review this in 2 years and see how well it's working. So they're doing this in a very evidence-based manner, and that I think it's really commendable.
Now, our second topic today is something that one employee of this organization compared the situation that they find themselves in as being on a hijacked aeroplane. What are we talking about?
Oh, dear, dear, dear. So for many, many years, the Center for Disease Control in America was a bastion of good evidence and realistic appraisal of information. It was a great boon to the world. Unfortunately, since Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has taken over Health and Human Sciences in the US, this has not been the case. So we've talked recently and on this show before about how RFK Jr. has brought in his own people. He has kicked out evidence-based members of the CDC and the FDA and all the organizations there. And this has culminated last week in a new CDC webpage that claims there is actually a link between autism and vaccines. Now, we've discussed on this show before, and everyone knows, there is no link between vaccines and autism. Unfortunately, this is a bit of falsehood that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. very strongly believes in. And he's now strong-arming the CDC to put this on their website. So this is why CDC staff are currently feeling, they're saying they feel horrified, embarrassed, and fearful. And that great quote that one said, it's like being on a hijacked airplane.
Now, he has appointed someone who's a noted anti-vaccine scientist, in quotes, to being second in command of the CDC.
Yes, this is Ralph Lee Abraham, who's a Louisiana doctor who has been put in charge of it. But this is something that's been happening for a while. We talked on the show a while ago about the Immunization Advisory Committee that has existed, is apolitical, nonpartisan for years, advising on the immunization schedule in the U.S., that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. came in and threw out all the established members and absolutely filled it with sycophants and fellow travelers. So this is a good example of ideological hijacking. And this guy who's now the second in charge, Ralph Lee Abraham of the CDC, has a worrying portfolio of anti-vaccine activism. And this is really jarring for members of the CDC, the huge majority of his staff who are evidence-based. But even this website that was just added, these websites are supposed to go through multiple levels of scientific and editorial review. They're supposed to be reviewed by independent scientists to make sure the evidence is up to date. And this is not what happened here. This came directly from Kennedy's office. This has never happened before. And this is not the only time, too. I mean, currently we've seen the FDA, also full of Kennedy appointees, doing something very, very similar. Just last week, in fact.
He appointed someone else there called Vinay Prasad. Who is he?
Vinay Prasad, this is an interesting guy, because I have had personal run-ins with him. Many, many years ago, Vinay Prasad was very keen on evidence-based medicine, was very keen on improving the quality of trials in oncology. He works in oncology. He has no expertise in vaccines per se. I actually had a conversation with him years ago about working with him on a project that never came to fruition. But over the pandemic, he became a contrarian. He became very anti-public health measures, and he got on the radar of Donald J. Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He was appointed to the FDA, and just last week, he issued a statement saying that they're going to review all vaccine approvals because they had linked 10 children's deaths to COVID-19 vaccinations. Now, this is what has annoyed all of his colleagues in evidence-based medicine. They used a system called VARS, which is the Vaccine Advance Reporting System, which you cannot draw those conclusions from because they're spammed full of people reporting things. Anyone can file a report on them. Famously, years ago, a scientist filed a report that the vaccine had turned him into the Incredible Hulk, and that gets into the database. There's no fact-checking of these reports. So this is a meaningless statement. So different scientists and different public health bodies have asked him to justify this statement or put the evidence out there.
So if you want to use this for your evidence, you can actually plant these stories yourself and then quote them as evidence of your claim.
Absolutely. And this is the problem with database evidence. This is why we don't use it that way, or we don't use it to, strictly speaking, interpret causality or linking things, because anyone can do it. The other thing is, even if he had that information, that should have been made available in the to other scientists. He's been accused by people like Paul Offit, the vaccine scientist, of doing science by press release because he refuses to back any of these claims up. But this is a good example of how Kennedy's 10 year as health and human sciences secretary has happened. This is ideological capture. This is grabbing people to repeat your propaganda and only promoting them upwards if they do that, which totally undermines the purpose of these bodies, which are supposed to be independent and supposed to be evidence-based. And it's a good example of propaganda taking over an institution.
So finally, David, that they are now changing the protocols for childhood vaccines, which vaccines should be given as a necessity, and some which might be avoided by parents, thus leading, one presumes, to more childhood illnesses and perhaps the loss of herd immunity in many areas.
Absolutely. They announced very early our time on Wednesday morning that they will have a new raft of policies and measures out on Thursday or Friday. And all of these, we already know, are going to be, in practice, incredibly anti-vaccine. They're going to, for example, overturn major vaccine recommendations, including the one for children's hepatitis B vaccine recommendations, which have been in place since 1991. And have been responsible for a 99% drop in infected children and teens. So this is going to have negative repercussions. And this goes back to Kennedy's agenda of being incredibly anti-vaccine. We always have to remember that he was the number one funder of anti-vaccine propaganda on Facebook in 2018, his institution. So if you put someone who does not care for evidence, who's that ideologically bent, they will abuse their power to put out these messages and to try and give them an air of legitimacy they just do not deserve.
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape. David, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.